talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday. Friday, October the 3rd, 2025. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. In the studio here with Matt Morgan. Tonight, we've got big shows here on the station. 8:15 till 10, we'll be live in the studio. And then 10:15 till 11 tonight, Matt will have his show live on the station. So it'll be a big night here on WGH Talk. And we certainly do appreciate that. And the Pastor Whitaker program that we do here every Friday, we'll be back next Friday at 11:15 a.m., as it is each and every week. And you can get all these things available on the internet, wwgh1071.com, or by downloading the free TuneIn app on any mobile device and searching WGH Talk. Matt, what is on your show tonight?
So, coming up on my show tonight, we are going to be talking about there's some stories in the NFL, some injuries and you know, things of that sort that I felt were important enough to talk about. I wanted to talk about the Marianne event. Obviously, that was the wonderful started at 7, went until about 10 o'clock. Great event, great speakers. I'm going to talk about the closure of the government. I guess alongside with that, I'll talk about the putting on hold of the however many billions of dollars, I have it written down, billions of dollars put on hold for New York funding, which, again, I do believe is for, it's for two projects, I do believe. One's like, I want to say, I think it's $18 billion. I could be wrong, because I think $8 billion of it's supposed to be for green energy, and then $10 billion of it's supposed to be for some kind of massive, either railway infrastructure rebuild, something like that. But yeah, either way, we're going to talk about that, talk about the election, or not the election, the we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the, I guess we could talk about the gubernatorial election, why not? But the Mary Allen event, and the government shutdown, and football. Yeah.
How exciting.
That's what I thought.
So, again, the phone lines are open here today, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, not to go as deep as Pastor Whitaker did there, but why do you think we are fascinated with the human body?
I couldn't tell you, really.
Not necessarily pornography, but why do we like to see somebody in a bathing suit? I mean, Sports Illustrated for years, I don't know if the swimsuit edition is still out there, but it was their most popular selling issue all year round.
I don't know. I assume it has something to do with biology. You know, that kind of thing. How you're programmed, I suppose. I couldn't tell you.
But how many people's significant other looks like that?
Looks like what?
Those people in the swimsuit magazines.
Oh, well, maybe one.
Very few. Maybe that's the problem with those people.
Maybe 1 in 10.
Yeah. Maybe that's the problem.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but I don't think they're going to pay you to be in the cover of a magazine in a swimsuit otherwise.
Well, as I was saying, we had a big discussion the other morning about clothing and what's appropriate to say to people and what's not appropriate to say. And I've said this before. One time I made an offhanded remark about somebody's legs, and that was they took that personally. And I still don't understand that, and they can't understand why I can't understand that. Because I've made fun of everything else with this person. I've made fun of their hair. I've made fun of their skin. I've made fun of their hands. I've made fun of everything. But when I've made fun of their clothes. But when I made fun of their legs, that really bothered them. Now, they could never tell me why it bothered them. Now, I got a pretty good assumption as to why it bothered them. Clearly, they have a leg issue. But I don't...
Such a strange issue to have.
Yeah, but you cannot tell me one comment when I made fun of everything else clearly you're insecure about your legs. And because I said something about something you're insecure about, you did not like it. You took that one personally. Well, why not just say that? You can't even tell me that you're insecure about it and that's why it made you unhappy?
Well, I think most people don't share insecurities because, I mean, it's kind of the whole point of an insecure. Why would you share some, like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to share a vulnerability.
But you've already told me when you get angry at it.
Well, yeah, but, like, if it's like a, I don't know, they're, I don't know, like, the whole body problem thing, because you got them on legs, but you could go after, I guess, everything else.
Yeah, but when I go after everything else and it doesn't cause a problem, and I go after your legs and it causes a huge problem, you've showed me your insecurity.
I guess, yeah, but I mean, I don't think that...
And had I known that was an insecurity, I wouldn't have said it.
Oh, I don't know.
I wouldn't have.
Well, maybe.
Why do you want to hit somebody with an... You know, comedy to me is not funny if it's serious. If you're really trying to hurt somebody...
Well, no, you're not supposed to be trying to hurt somebody.
Well, if you know somebody's insecure about something, you're trying to hurt them if you're going after that. You can say it's in the name of comedy, but it's not.
I guess. I mean, the goal is not to hurt anybody's feelings, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I've said on here, I'm like, I talk the most crap to my friends, like, you know, because, you know, like, I don't know. They're my friends. It's just entertaining. I don't know that I don't think it's funny per se. It's just entertaining. It's something to do, and they usually will, you know, go along and talk crap back. So it's same concept.
Yeah, but what if them had a really bad speech impediment that really bothered them? Is that what you're going to hit them on?
I mean, probably not.
Well, why? Funny.
I just call them a lot of names. There's no what was the today junior, that thing? Like, no, none of that. But like, I mean. Like, I don't know.
By the way, we had a big discussion. By the way, we had the big discussion last Friday night about debate being drama. And if you watch the television program, which is out today, Matt apparently comes around on this and all of a sudden agrees that it is drama. Debates are drama.
I don't think that was the conclusion at all.
Watch the show. All you gotta do is watch it. It's in the third act.
Go ahead and watch the show. I mean, I think Mary Ellen agreed with me.
No. What Mary Ellen said was, she said, sometimes you can learn things.
That's what I said.
But she said they are for drama.
I don't think they're for drama.
See, you just mischaracterized what our birthday girl said.
I'm telling you. I think she, look, the whole, I mean, I guess, sure, in theory, I mean, it's contentious. You get too, I mean, like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean, there wouldn't be a debate if there wasn't contention. I don't understand the issue there. I mean, there has to be contention.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Right off the bat.
But they're not arguing. It's a debate. Like, it's more formulaic. Like, somebody gets up with an opening statement. The other person gets up with an opening statement.
I'm not saying.
Rebuttal, rebuttal. Like, it's organized.
You, I think, are hearing that I'm saying it's bad or good. That's not what I'm saying. You're arguing, is it bad or good? I'm not saying that. Am I saying debate shouldn't happen? No. I'm saying you have to understand, though, that a debate, if it's set up that way, if you know that's what it is, if that's the premise, that you are looking for drama. You're looking for a disagreement. You're looking for two people to disagree. Disagreement is drama. An interview is not going, a legitimate interview is not, if I said, Amy Acton, come on for an interview, it might happen. Hey, Amy Acton, come on, I want to debate you. Probably not going to happen. Because she knows that that's going to create drama.
Okay, so hold on. Are we talking about, like, if a host invites somebody or, like, an actual debate? Because
either one.
Well, if a host invites somebody on and then debates them, then yeah, I guess. But
you ever watch cable news? That's all they do.
No, I don't watch cable news.
Well, watch it sometime. You ever seen the internet shows that people are talking about as of late, the Ben Shapiros, that's all they do is invite people on to disagree with them.
Yeah, I used to watch Ben Shapiro a lot. I used to watch Charlie Kirk a lot.
That's what they do.
Yeah, but I also watch, like...
See, you don't think that was for drama?
Those are more for drama. But, like, actual, like, those are, like... Those are, like, theatrical debates at best. Like, actual debates, like I said... like, there's no... I mean, like, there's contention because they have disagreeing points, but they're not, like, angry at each other. It's just, like, this is why... Like, opening statement, rebuttal, rebuttal.
But it's dramatic. Even if it doesn't come, you want that moment where they start screaming at each other. You want
there's
that...
There's a moderator. It's not allowed. But it doesn't happen.
Oh, it happens.
And then the moderator will step in.
Tries. Sometimes you lose control.
But, I mean, there are a lot of debate formats, like the Charlie Kirk, I'm sure they have names, I don't know, but, like, the Charlie Kirk debate format, like, you know, he would sit down and people would come up and debate him, like, you know, there are people who go around and do the formulaic, like, you know, opening, you know, the thing I've done stated, like, three times, sometimes they just, like, there's three people, and then they just, like, sit down, and then two people just have a conversation, and one's a moderator, and then we'll just
direct
questions.
Let me put it this way. They don't even call the League of Women Voters event in Marion. I'm not in Marion, Ohio here. They don't even call it a debate anymore because of the connotation of drama. They call it Candidates Night. And, you know, when I moderated that, the four times that I moderated it, I interviewed all those candidates. That was fine. You got some drama sometimes because somebody would say something dramatic, but you weren't going for drama. When I took the moderator's post and you are sitting next to your opponent that you're running against, who you probably have not sat next to since that campaign started, it's uncomfortable just to sit there. You feel tension in the room just from that before you ever ask the first question, let alone, and it's a very civil format, and I moderated it. I time-cued those people, and I think I did a very good job with that. But you knew when the question came, okay, what are you going to do as sheriff? I'm going to do da-da-da-da-da because of my record. And then the person sitting right next to them says, you did not do that. You don't do this. You need to do this this way, and this is what I'm going to do. That's a fair amount of tension that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, that's a political debate. Again, a whole different kind of thing.
Debate cheese. You're going to your plan is to disagree with what that person's saying, and you don't know what they're going to say. You know what stance they're taking, but you don't know how they're going to frame it.
Well, I mean, every stance they take in a debate is more than likely going to be to disprove your stance.
The Lloyd Benson Dan Quayle moment, which lives on to this day, has nothing to do with politics. It was in a political debate, but Lloyd Benson was waiting for Dan Quayle just to even bring the name up John Kennedy. Just waiting for it. And because that's drama. They have rehearsed this thing. They know what they're going for. Dan Quayle calling himself the new John Kennedy had nothing to do with policy. It had nothing to do with anything like that. He was a Republican, for God's sake. He didn't have a lot of the same issue feelings that John Kennedy did. He was saying, I'm the new young politician here. I could be the next president. And when he said it, Lloyd Benson, who knew John Kennedy, just looked at him and said, well, Senator, I knew John Kennedy, and let me tell you, I knew John Kennedy, I was a friend of John Kennedy's, and you, Senator, are no John Kennedy. And what are you going to say to that? But it was dramatic. That's the one we all remember. Nobody knows how Quayle and Lloyd Benson felt about anything politically except that dramatic moment. Because you're looking for the... That's what you want in it. If I'm debating somebody, that's what I want. I want the moment they're going to remember.
That's a political debate. Like, you don't have those...
I want the moments are going to... What are we debating?
Like, I mean, I've listened to a lot of debates. Religious debates, like...
Religious debates. I don't want the moments you're going to remember.
But religious debates are more like point for point. Like, you know...
Why do you think in a religious debate between an atheist and a religious person, the atheist always says, God bless you? Why do you think they always do that?
Because it's a jab?
It's a jab. And they know people are going to remember it.
Because it's a jab, yeah.
Why do they do that?
It's like Madeline Murray O'Hare always used to say, like, thank God, and people would always be like, ah, see, gotcha, and then she'd be like, ah, see, got you.
Phil Donahue on his 20th anniversary, you know, Madeline Murray was the first guest on his show in Dayton, and when he celebrated his 25th anniversary, he had Madeline Murray in the audience, and he said, and I want to introduce the person who was on my first show 25 years ago in Dayton, the most hated woman in America, Madeline Murray O'Hare. Stand up, Madeline. And she stands up, and she actually got cheers in the room. People knew who she was, and she's waving. This 25 years later. And he said, Madeline, you have every right to say what you want to say. God bless you. And, you know, he was taking a jab.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
and that's what you want.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not like a, but I mean, it's not like one of those. I mean, it's not like the whole you're no John Kennedy thing that you just said. And
you hope for those in whatever debate you want.
It's not like the Reagan Mondale.
Yeah, but you know the problem is. The thing is, the moment in any debate that most people will remember, if the debate is memorable at all, usually has nothing to do with what they're debating. It's a moment where somebody takes a really good, ironic jab at the other person.
I don't know that there's a whole lot of those. And
there are. I mean, I hear them all the time. Like I said, the religious debates are always God bless you from the atheist. That's what it always is.
That's about it.
But that, why do they all do it? We've heard it.
Like,
we get it.
Yeah, but it doesn't. It's not like. But it's not a you're no John Kennedy moment. And it's not a I won't use my opponent's youth and inexperience against him.
No, that's age. If you're having a debate about age, you might use that. That debate. Again, you're talking about political debates. Age is not a policy, age was an issue. And you're creating drama with the issue. John Kennedy was not policy. John Kennedy was an issue. It was about youth.
How is God bless you the same as either of those two things?
Because God bless you from an atheist is not going to say God bless you. And they're saying it to a religious person in a religious debate. It has nothing to do. You think because if the atheist person is really trying to prove the existence of no God, they're not going to say God bless you. Because in reality, you would say, oh, maybe they believe. Because that's what that would really do. But you know it's an ironic thing you're doing.
I don't know. I mean, I think that at this point, people say, like, thank God.
They're not saying it offhanded.
No,
they're like, planning it.
Well, no, but... Yeah, but, like... I mean, like, they're, like... Those are just, like, things people say. Like,
yeah, but they're not.
Like, you don't have to believe in God to say thank God. It's just like, you know.
No, they don't
just
do it like that.
Good.
They complete a statement and they just want to say, and I, God bless you for being here today. And it always gets a laugh. Ha ha ha. If there's an audience. You know, it's drama. If you're not trying to entertain with a debate, why are you listening to it? You really try? Are you really going, of all the sources to get information, that's the one you're going to for information?
They're entertaining.
There you are.
Case
closed. Checkmate.
I never argued they weren't entertaining.
Checkmate.
Otherwise, I wouldn't listen to them.
Checkmate. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I'm an atheist, but I don't try to get people to believe or prove that there was no God. I mean, that's...
No, there are... You know what? But my point is, there are a lot of people who are on who are atheists, but the interview's not about atheism. But if we're talking about a debate on if God exists and you have one person who believes and one person doesn't, you're probably going to talk about your atheism.
Probably. You know, Glenn used to talk about, you know, him being an atheist. And even his father was a priest or pastor or reverend or whatever. And, you know, if somebody sneezes, I say bless you.
Well, right, but again, I'm talking about in a debate. If you're in a debate with somebody And you say to the religious person, as the atheist, trying to argue the point that there is no God, and I just want to say, God bless you, that's an ironic jab. You're not telling that person, God bless you.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that if it was in a debate.
Right.
Know.
So that's my point. Debates are drama. That you are creating. Now, does drama always come? No, some are boring. But you have set up an atmosphere that is dramatic. And I'm not saying interviews can't be dramatic. They can. But you're not setting up an atmosphere for drama.
Yeah. Matt, are you going to talk about football tonight, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to talk any about the kickoff? How they're doing the kickoff anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about it.
I was seeing on YouTube here where coaches have figured out a way to block in that scheme.
Yeah, block kicks more often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched a little bit of it. They say they did it for more run backs. But, you know, the run backs is one of the most times people get hurt a lot of times.
Well, a lot of the times they're smaller people, and I mean, you got to run, and you're like 5'9 to 5'11 usually, and like, you know, you weigh like 160, maybe 200, if you're a bigger running back like Derrick Henry. But you got to like go through guys who are like 6'7, like 300 pounds.
300 pounds, yeah.
Well, there you go. 10 o'clock tonight will be your show.
Yeah, I'll try to tune you on. Are you guys going to do a football game tonight, or are you going to be on?
Nope, we'll be here in the studio.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. And phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. It's just like the most popular would be The View. But why do you think they have four people? You think they want them to come out every day and throw a subject out there and go, I agree.
Well, I mean, yes, you want argue.
Right, but do you think it's contrived to argue that they go backstage and say, "Listen, you got what are you guys not going to agree on?"
I think they just pick things that they disagree on.
Right, you've set an atmosphere. Now, some days it's better than others, but some days you get those dramatic moments that happen, and you've created an atmosphere for it. If you are doing a show where you have more than one host and everybody agrees, that's a bad show. I hate to tell you, Broadcasting 101, it's a bad show. You're only doing that for two reasons. Number one, somebody is very bad at interviewing, because there's no reason one person shouldn't be able to do an interview. Or number two, you're trying to get your viewership up by tagging more people in your post. That's the only reason you're doing it. Why would you have three hosts that all agree we all agree? Okay, you should just start the show. The show should be about 2 minutes long. We all agree about this. Bye-bye. Why do you need three hosts? I never trust a show where everybody agrees.
Because you can talk in a circle about how good it is.
Yes, I never trust a show where everybody agrees. What is the point of that? You're not doing a panel show. If it's an interview, that's questions. But when you got more than one host, what are you doing there?
Well, I mean, you're obviously trying to, I think pander's the word. You're trying to pander to, you know, whatever group you're...
Exactly.
You're talking of in the point.
I mean, why are you bringing on more hosts? Because you want more, you want their people to watch. I mean, it's really a stupid thing to do.
I guess.
Because ultimately, you learn nothing.
Yeah, that's why debates are superior. Listen to debates.
Yeah, but an interview show, I think, will always take precedent. Because debates every day are just drama.
Because everyday debates aren't actually debates. They're like arguments. Arguments and debates are two different things.
But people like a good argument.
Oh, no. See, arguments are drama.
I don't know. In any event.
Drama's like two people arguing over something stupid. That's drama. Debates are not drama.
I don't know. This is why I don't watch things.
Entertaining and informative.
There are so few. I can't even think of a talk show that I watch from beginning to end. Every day. Or even on a regular basis.
I've never watched a talk show.
Well, a podcast is a talk show.
I don't watch podcasts.
Well, you listen to them.
Do I?
Well, you say you do.
Which one?
You say, I'm listening to this thing. I used to listen to this thing.
Well, like, do those count as podcasts? Like, I guess they count more as... I watched them on YouTube, but I guess Charlie Kirk does have his own, like, TV show. So I'll give you that. I guess I did listen to talk show people. Charlie Kirk.
And you said not do what Bob Rubin, his thing?
Bob Rubin.
Robert Rubin? Didn't you get his book?
Oh, Robert Reich.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I got the book.
And you were listening to his thing?
Yeah, they do, I guess that's a podcast, I suppose. I mean.
And you've heard Joe Rogan.
Those are like interviews, though. That's like
they're talk shows.
Yeah.
But you say you don't listen to talk shows.
I don't watch talk shows.
Well, what's the difference?
I thought you were talking like show. I thought you were talking about like TV talk shows. I don't watch TV talk shows, and I don't really watch podcasts. I guess it depends on what you're classifying as a podcast.
I don't know.
Joe Rogan is a podcast, but I mean it's more like interviews. So you know, it's.
I'm not sure. I don't think people quite understand podcasts, but whatever.
I don't think people quite understand radio.
No.
People think we're a podcast.
They do, which is fine, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, I suppose. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's a negative.
I mean, so long as they understand we're live 24 hours, I don't think it really matters.
No. That's always missed on people. But, you know, that's fine. I mean, I certainly don't mind it. I don't think it's a knock. I just don't think they understand what a podcast is.
Well, podcast just like happens, you know, they're like, you know, roughly like an hour to 2 hours long, and that happens like a certain day of the week at a certain time, and that's about it.
I'm just shocked that it's a long conversation to have, but everybody thinks they can do a show. Now, some are popular, some are not, but some are just absolutely terrible.
Well, I mean, I think that's the thing. I think anybody can do a show. I just don't know how good the show is going to be.
Well, right. But the fact that people are so egotistical that they think they can do it is shocking to me.
Well, I mean, they're not. I mean, I guess they're not wrong. I mean, do it well is a different thing.
Yeah, but don't you want kind of...
Like I said, anybody can do a show.
Why are you doing it if you're not trying to do it to the best of your ability?
I'm sure they think they're doing it to the best of their ability.
No, I don't think they are. They'd be doing better.
I said... Oh, well, I think that they think they are.
Well, if you think just showing up and doing it is the best of your ability, you're wrong.
Probably, yeah. I mean, showing up and... Yeah.
And it shows. You know, there's a little more to it.
Yeah.
But.
Preparation is key.
Well, preparation is good, and so is understanding what people want to hear and what they don't. You know, I've always said, I never have booked my show to my likes and dislikes. I book it to what I think people want to hear. Now, are you always right? No. But more times than not, you are. Because you can step out of the box. Some people can't step out of their own box.
I mean, if you're doing a show, I mean, if you're doing a show that you want people to listen to, I'd assume you'd talk about things that people want to hear about.
You would think.
Yeah?
I don't think they do.
Well, maybe. Not all of them.
You had a piece of cake last night, didn't you?
I gave it to my mom. I didn't.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, she likes L&P cake, so she was happy.
You know, I don't
her
know
favorite
what
favorite cake.
Well, that's what a lot of people say. I wonder what it is.
Maybe it's just super moist. I honestly couldn't tell you.
Both of the cakes look pretty good. We had two cakes.
We did have two cakes.
We had two cakes.
Did I send you those pictures of the cakes, by the way?
You did?
I said, did I?
No, I don't think you sent me any pictures.
Well, I have pictures.
It was a night.
It was good. I went home and went to sleep.
Yeah, it was a good night. It, now who knows what's next? You never know till it's there. You know, and it's weird because that was being kept such a secret. I never really thought a lot about it until this week.
What, the party?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Just wasn't a lot to think about prior to it.
Fair.
When I was around somebody, I would say something, but, you know, not right up until the end did I really start thinking, you know, this is going to be quite the event.
No, I mean, I don't know. I figured it was going to be good. I mean, I didn't know everybody who was going to be there, but I had a fair idea. So, I figured it was going to be good.
Turned out well.
Oh, I think it turned out better than well.
Everybody was happy. Everybody was good.
I think we were probably over the occupancy in that room.
Oh, I'm sure we were over the occupancy. But, you know, just everybody who was there, the governors and all that, it was great.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, I don't think you could have asked for a better group of people as far as that goes.
No, and you know, there's so much material from last night. Not just the party itself, but the videos that people sent in. I mean, obviously those exist other places. And the speeches people gave and the pictures that people took and the papers that were sent in. And, you know, it was a good night.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'd do it again.
Well, we'll probably do something again at some point.
Well, I mean, yeah.
It was a humdinger.
I think so.
So you think Tim Ryan's going to get in? That was a big news of the week for governor.
I would think so. I mean, I think that if he wasn't going to get in, I think he would have taken the deadline being the 30th that he had set and just said that he wasn't getting in.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why he would, you know, talk about, oh, I just don't know if I'm going to run for governor of our great state of Ohio. And I don't know. He could have just said no if he wasn't going to. I figure he probably will.
You think Amy Acton can withhold that? I'll tell you.
She's got the money is my understanding right now. So, I mean, if it comes down to it, I guess. I mean, if she starts doing talk shows, I guess. Because, I mean, I think that's what Tim Ryan will have going for him. He probably will end up doing, I mean, he's been in the politics game for a while. I'm sure he'll do the interviews.
Yeah, but here's the thing I wonder. Okay, I understood David Pepper's theory this morning.
Yeah.
That if Tim Ryan gets in, this will hurt the Democratic Party.
Working theory.
Well, yeah, that Amy Acton will have to defend herself and spend money against Tim Ryan to defeat him before Vivek Ramaswamy. But do you want her going in against Vivek Ramaswamy untested? Not having to debate anybody? Not having to go toe-to-toe with anybody? Isn't that the Kamala Harris argument that we don't want a coronation?
That was. Yeah.
So I don't know why that would hurt. I think, yes, she would be spending money to run against Tim Ryan, but she's getting her name out there. What's Vivek Ramaswamy going to do in that time? He can save money all he wants, but what's he going to be doing?
And her policy would be known now. I don't think anybody knows anything about her policy.
Well, and she could have moments in debates and on the campaign trail that she is not going to have. I mean, what do these two want to do?
Does she have a website like Amy Acton for governor?
I'm sure she does.
I wonder if she's got her policies listed up on there.
But I'm just saying, what good is it going to do if you wait until the first time you debate Vivek? I mean, what's that, a few months out from the election? Just going to spend money up until that point?
She could always just refuse to debate him, I guess.
Somebody needs to set themselves apart here, and nobody's doing it.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
What have these people done, any of them?
Vivek?
Yeah, what has he done?
Recently, nothing, I guess, but I mean, like, when he originally hopped into the race, he had ads running, and the race was still, like, 2 years to come.
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, good afternoon, boys. I got up kind of late, so I thought I would chime in.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, this is Amy Quackton, which is what her name should be. Should never be governor. She is horrible. She tried to scare everybody with this, again, this COVID scam.
How do you feel about her, Adam? Tell me the truth.
I think calling her a piece of crap would be an insult to sewage systems worldwide. She should never be governor. She's not qualified. She's not even a good speaker. I mean, not that Donald Trump's a good speaker or Joe Biden, et cetera, but she has no redeeming qualities. The way she just tried to scare
people. Do you know the person, Adam? Do you know that she has no redeeming qualities?
I've seen her on TV enough and researched about her. I cannot stand Amy Quackton.
Okay, well, now, let me ask you a question. I'm curious here, Adam. I'm really curious. Now, so forget the COVID thing. When you say no redeeming qualities, beyond that, what don't you like about her?
Well, no redeeming qualities means there's nothing to like about her.
Right, but what?
I'd love to see a female governor. I'm all for having diversity and people in public office. I mean, that's one reason why I like Sue McGowan for mayor. I thought of a tough female candidate coming in kind of fresh, but with a lot of life experiences, might be good for Mary. As you know, we kind of brought that up.
But right. No, I guess what I'm,
you know, I'm not going to even justify by calling her a doctor because I don't know what mail order place she ordered her degree from. But you know how I feel about COVID. Again, the disease exists, but not presented as this worldwide scam pandemic, which is a scamdemic that many people say, like Amy, and the way that she brainwashed Mike DeWine. You know, as you've said, Mike DeWine is a good man. I mean, I'd agree with him on many issues, but he does work with people. And with his broad experience, his education, he has many redeeming qualities. Whether I agree on that issue is something really entirely different. But the way that she just brainwashed him and tried to brainwash people, again, her name is Quackton. That's what I call her. I wouldn't justify it by putting a doctor in front of her name. So people might think I'm being extreme, and I would say that I am. But everybody out there, don't vote for her. Vivek is not perfect. He's a bit of a hothead, I would say. He's arrogant. He's very smart. You know, he's young. I agree with him on some issues. He's rather extreme on others. I wouldn't mind seeing a better choice, but we have to take a look at the cards we've been dealt. So, you know.
What about Tim Ryan? How do you feel about him?
Sorry?
What about Tim Ryan? How do you feel about him?
I don't know much about Tim Ryan. Not enough that I really can comment.
I guess my question again was aside from COVID, because when you say somebody has no redeeming qualities, what else do you know about this woman that she has zero redeeming qualities?
I'm not an expert on her, Scott. I don't like the way she speaks. She's not well spoken. She's certainly not convincing. And I just rub me the wrong way. And again, believe me, I'd love to see a female governor. I'd like to see diversity in political office holders and people that run. But I don't vote for somebody just because someone is not, you know, an OWG, an old white guy. You know, Vivek is not an old white guy. He's a younger Asian gentleman, which is great. I mean, DeWine is an OWG. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have redeeming qualities. He has many of them. I don't like how she brainwashed him. That really made me uncomfortable. He just switched gears to one day, well, no masks. Next day, he starts looking at a mask on TV and has Amy to discussing it with him. This is not somebody we want as governor.
Right.
So, you know, to come extreme, Scott, you know, I will say what's on my mind.
Well, no, I don't mind that. I like when people say what's on their mind.
That's how it's going to be.
Well, who would say it wasn't? Who is objecting to you, Adam?
Well, I know how you are, Scott. You'll play this devil's advocate, and you're wonderful at that. I mean,
well, I don't know that I've said anything. What is the devil's advocate
I've
here?
So much from you and my other friends that are in journalism and various regards, and it's greatly appreciated.
No, I'm just I. Why would I not want people to say their opinion? I mean, I think that's what you want.
That's why I call. You know, I kind of slept in.
Right. No, all I'm saying is...
Okay, well, discussing the governor race, that should be a nice, juicy one. As we're going to have a person who's very different from DeWine, no matter who enters office.
No, I guess what I'm saying here is I'm not objecting to you having the opinion that you have. Everybody's entitled to that. All I'm saying is...
Well, you know me, Scott. I pepper it with my humor, too. My sense of humor is included at no additional charge.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm saying is that it's fine that you have that opinion. I assume most people have opinions on who's running for office. I just am saying that when you say, I can understand somebody saying, I don't like how they handled COVID. I'm sure a lot of people have that opinion of her. I mean, that's what she's known for.
I may be one of the most vocal, but I'm certainly not the only one.
Right. So again, right. But I say, when you say somebody has no redeeming qualities, that's beyond no, that's no redeeming qualities, that you are a terrible person. I don't know.
I didn't say terrible. I did redeeming qualities for being the governor. I'm sure if I
okay, well, that's different. That's different.
She'd be a nice lady.
But well, that's different.
She really, really rubs me the wrong way. I mean, one of the people I see on TV, and you would think someone like DeWine, as experienced as he is, someone who, I mean, I wouldn't call him a moderate, but he is in some ways, and he was pretty to the left. He didn't start that way, but he ended up being fairly to the left on the COVID issue. But he just gets brainwashed by her. You know, Mike, if you're listening, first, thank you for being on with Scott, because it was a great interview. I know you're busy, your wife, yourself. Likeable people, we could still shake hands, not agree, just like with Mary Ellen, which is, you know, kind of ironic. Mary Ellen, moderately to the left. Me, it's kind of hard to say what I am, because I am far left on some issues, but people could still shake hands and be friends, right? But, you know, don't let people brainwash you like
that. What is a moderate? See, I don't understand what that is anymore.
It's all changed, Scott, because of the directions of the party. The Democratic Party has gotten so far left. I mean, Meg Matt has mentioned that, you know. Interestingly, the more I hear of Matt's politics, seems pretty similar to mine. I thought he was a bit to the left, but now he's saying he's kind of like, I'm going to call it like a Barbara Bush or Teddy Roosevelt Republican.
What? No, I'm
he's
saying, Republican. What is
it? It describes me. It's certainly economically conservative. It's capitalism by definition anyway.
What
issue is kind of, you know, to the left, but within reason.
Okay. But I'm saying to you, what are far left policies?
Men playing women's sports.
Okay, I understand you're hung up on that one. I got it.
Well, that's a big issue because...
Okay, let's move on past that. We've done that one. So what are the other ones?
Driver's license to people here illegally, and then health benefits to people here illegally.
What Democrat in Ohio believes in that?
I didn't mention any people that do. You just asked me to name...
No, but I'm saying when you say the whole Democratic Party, you're talking about New York.
Right. Well, it's a spectrum. Yes, people might say they're Democrat. Doesn't mean that they agree with that. I don't think
any rational person would.
But it seems like the general platform is, and that's what hurt Harris and picking Walz, who is extremely.
Okay, but again, my point is we can't go and say the Republican Party is going extremely right because of how people are handling abortion.
I would say that Democrats having gone very far left is more.
I got to get a full sentence in here, Adam. Let me have a full sentence.
You interrupted me, but it's okay. You're right. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying you can't say that the Republicans have gone far right because of how Republicans in Texas act in regard to abortion and redistricting.
I didn't get through it again, but go ahead. Going more extreme. It is a spectrum, and it's one reason why, you know, I'm an independent. You know, I said I lean heavily libertarian. I've never believed in political parties. I never even understood them. But I think in national office, it's like a franchise where you want to align yourself with a D or an R.
Okay. All I'm saying is I don't know of any...
For example, on abortion, I would be considered very far left.
I'm just saying,
you know,
what...
Independent, I go issue by issue.
What Democrat in Ohio running for any major offices believes in these far left or far right issues?
I don't know. I know the general platform, and not saying everybody agrees with that, but this platform certainly appears to be... In that direction.
I don't think the Democratic National Committee's platform says a lot of what you're saying.
Well, I don't know the specifics of the platform. What I do know is what I see. Of course, it'd be fake news. And, you know, you're challenging me, but I give you an answer. I'll give you my viewpoint, or I might say I don't know enough about it, or I'm not really sure. Like gun control, I do tend to waver on that one. That's a tricky one.
No,
There are some things that I am hard and fast on.
No, I appreciate opinions. That's fine. All I'm saying is much like opinions are what you want from people. That's, you ask them a question, you get an opinion. That's good. But I'm saying when it comes to the facts of the matter, facts, you know, I always say we can all agree. I can have a conversation with anybody as long as we understand 2 + 2 = 4. But if we think 2 + 2 = 5, we got a problem.
Well, some people would argue that with you also.
They would argue what?
That 2 + 2 = 5.
Right, that's and that's the problem. Then we're going to have a problem with the conversation because you're not even dealing in facts. So how can I have a conversation about opinion when you aren't even dealing in fact?
Well, that would be an interesting point to ponder, wouldn't it?
I think it is, but that's all I'm saying. I'm saying as long as we agree on the facts, we're okay. Then you can have an opinion. But the problem is some people just bring their own just make their own facts up, and that's how they back up their opinion, and this is a problem.
Perhaps.
So that's all. But no, I did a whole hour earlier on. Go back and listen to it. I don't understand why Amy Acton is the only candidate who has not come on this show. I don't understand why...
Well, there's another thing about her, which is a non-redeeming quality. Yes, and Vivek, thank you for coming on. He loves to talk about himself. I don't mind his arrogance. You know, he's quite a story.
No, but that's all I'm saying. So I have not.
I can live with that. He's certainly well spoken.
But I certainly do want to talk to her because I am curious about a lot of things. Just like I was curious about what Vivek had to say. I'm curious about.
No problem talking with your guest Mike DeWine about COVID. Did she? That isn't that a little ironic?
Now, what was that?
She had no problem talking with Mike DeWine. You know who was on with you and very cordial. About COVID, she had no problem with that, did she?
Well, I think she was the health director.
Well, she shouldn't be in that position.
Well, didn't DeWine put her in there?
I would assume.
So I don't think he was all that brainwashed. I mean, he made that decision.
Well, he made that decision, I think, before COVID. She's a physician. I guess claims to be a physician. I mean, I would never go to her for any medical issues.
I've never heard Mike DeWine to this day ever say that he regretted what he did.
Right. Well, did I say I agree with everything on Mike DeWine? I said he was cordial.
Brainwashed. I mean, he might have been given advice that he decided to follow.
I'm not going to say he was brainwashed. The guy has been in politics for 40, 50 years. He knows what to say, what not to say. You know, Mike DeWine is not stupid, believe me.
Right, but didn't you just say he was brainwashed by her?
Well, people that are smart get brainwashed. I've been brainwashed. We all have been.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think he brainwashed her because he chose her. He could have let her go at any time. And
I didn't agree with his decision, certainly, to retain her.
And he's never went back on what he... As a matter of fact, he has stuck to it long after he let her go and said, I did the right thing.
Well, like with abortion, Scott, I do not agree with Mike DeWine on many issues, but I do respect the man, respect his period of service. Anybody who comes on your show, even Jim Jordan, as rude as he was, as you know, I still respect that because they came on the show.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
And Mike was very cordial and, you know, smiling and talking to Mary Ellen. That was a great moment in human history.
I think people and I hope that Amy Acton comes on. It's been a long time since I have not had a gubernatorial candidate on, so I hope the door flies open soon.
Well, knowing you, Scott, I mean you have so many surprises as to who shares that microphone with you. It would hardly be a shocker to me.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for calling it.
We could call her. We've come up with, like, especially with women. She's a medical doctor. Would you call her Dr. Acton? What would you call her? Because that's come up before, like with a PhD.
Yeah, I would call her a doctor. I told you. Well, I've said, listen, I'll go through this very quickly.
Seems
just because
like
we're
females, you're quicker to use a first name. Nothing wrong.
I call Dr. Feynman Dr. Feynman all the time.
Yeah, well, it's kind of ironic.
I think he's a male.
I've never called him that.
What male who was a doctor did I not call doctor?
Referring to a PhD, there was somebody. And Ted Strickland also is a PhD, I believe, or a doctor.
Well, but I think governor precedes doctor, and I call him governor.
Well, he's not governor anymore, though.
No, but he was.
It's just fascinating. I'm fascinated, Scott, as you know, among other things, by how you address people. I just asked a question, you gave an answer, so you would call her Dr. Acton.
Well, yeah, but again, I think I've explained this before, but I'll go through it again. The reason I refer to somebody who's a PhD or a medical doctor or who was governor or who was senator or who is governor or who is senator by their title is because this is radio and people are listening and I don't announce their name every 5 minutes. And if you don't know who this person, say you've forgotten the name Ted Strickland, it's been 15 years since he's been governor. If I introduce him as former governor or Governor Ted Strickland, that's going to let the audience know that I'm talking to a governor, and I think that's going to give more credence than Ted down the street. who they might think I'm talking to if I don't do that. That's just broadcasting 101. That has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah, that's fun. I don't claim to be the expert, Scott. As you know, my background is DJ, and you've taught me very much. Every time I listen to you, I learn something.
Well, I appreciate
that.
Well, I enjoy what you do, Adam, and it's great. And all I'm saying is, but that's I just don't know if I did not refer to somebody by their title, I must not have been aware they had a title.
Yeah, you don't always know. And there's the different types of titles. People use them differently. There are people that might have a PhD, but they're working in a different field, or an MD in a different field.
And I think it is
kind of fascinating how people are addressed.
Yeah, and I just think I think it's an ego thing when you don't want if you're sitting across, because you're not buddies with these people. I'm not buddies with Ted Strickland. I'm not buddies with Bob Taft. I'm not buddies with them. So if I want to say, "Hey Bob, how you doing? Bob, how you doing?" I don't call that. That to me is a little disrespectful, because they were the governor. They had that title in their life, and the fact that I'm so determined to call them by their first name, That just seems a little like I'm trying to buck the system.
I'm pretty sure they used to do that to Arnold Schwarzenegger all the time when he was governor of California. Yeah, and because, you know, he'd be on some talk show talking about something, and when they wanted to make him look stupid, they'd go, "Arnold."
I think it's just you and Matt,
you and Scott talked about that. Again, being younger, more teachers are using a first name. You said, Scott, when you teach, they call you Scott. That never happened when I was in school.
No, but that's because I allowed it. I said, that's what I wanted. If I say Governor Strickland and he goes, "Call me Ted," that's a different story.
Right. You remember Greg Leshefka said, "Call me Greg." That was a fine moment when that happened.
Right. Right. Which
then
is fine.
He was on again and you called the mayor Leshefka. So,
well, again, I just think, but again, I'm trying to let the audience know who the person was.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't think everybody knows Greg Leshefka, but if I tell you he was a mayor, now you know.
Yeah, I mean, that especially gets home because, as you know, I love Greg Leshefka. I mean, there's a moderate to liberal Republican, great governor, I mean, a football player. He was great. You know, I saw him at Cup of Joe once, I think I told you. He's a really big guy. He looks like a football player, but he was cordial when I saw him in person. So he's someone I certainly am a fan of. So that, yeah, I know it's kind of silly I bring it up a lot, but that just kind of hits home because that's someone I am fond of.
Well, there you go. Adam, we ran out of time, but maybe you'll listen tonight and call in. Thanks for calling.
Okay, we had a little bit of overtime, but thank you again, gentlemen. Have a nice weekend.
All right. Adam Lepp, our computer guy, newsman, obituaries, weather, and we thank him for that. Matt will be back tonight at 8:15. You'll be on at 10. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
This is for someone your age. The physical and mental health effects, the poor decision-making, and the confusing legal aspects these days. So what do you